So why did Jesus have to come? Why did he have to come? Because we were all in a sinful state, in desperate need of help, and we couldn't find it. There was no one to help. There was no one to save.
Lord, I humble myself and pray. Lord, I humble myself and pray. I will seek your face, turn from my ways. I will seek your face, turn from my wicked ways. Lord, bring the breaking.
He says the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob. He will come. But to whom will he come? To those who turn from sin among us.
Lord, I come to the light. Confess that I need you. Lord, I come to the light. Confess that I'm poor. Lord, I come to the light, confess that I'm wretched and blind.
My question is, are you one of the ones who fears the Lord from the west? Are you one of the ones who wants to come into his holy habitation? Are you prepared to go near him? Are you prepared to let him consume whatever things are inside your heart and let him expose them and burn them out of your life? Do you really want revival? How many want revival? Do you really? Do I really want revival? What does that look like? What does that look like? Do I want revival?
Help me to understand your pain. When I conform to this world and blaspheme your holy name. Help me to understand your word. If I'm a friend of this world, it's hatred towards my God. Fire of God, burn in me. Consume all my wickedness, so I will not love this world. So I will not be a friend of this world any longer. I will not be a friend of this world any longer.
I want revival. That means I'm going to have to look upon his face. Are you prepared to look upon his face? Has anyone looked upon his face and lived? Be holy, for I am holy. Be perfect, for I am perfect. Yeah, I know, of our own strength, you can't do it. Are you prepared to walk up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to see your face? What might happen?
But still I ask for more. A glimpse of love cannot suffice my soul for all thy prayers. I cannot see thy face and live, then let me see thy face and live.
I know a people where God called them to come and draw near to God, and they drew back when they heard the sound of the trumpet. They saw the mountain smoking and the shaking and the lightnings. They drew back. Well, they said they wanted revival. We haven't come to that mountain, no. We've come to a greater mountain. And the only way to get to that mountain is to look upon His face and die.
Cannot see Thy face and live, then let me see Thy face and live.
We want revival, Lord. We want it at no cost. We want lots of action. We want to see God's people revived. But that might mean a lot of work. We might have to become servants. We might have to, some of us, quit our jobs and disciple people. We might have people hanging out till midnight because they're so thirsty for the word that is in our hearts. We might be too tired. You might have people wanting to hear the word of the Lord. But we might send them away as little children. Do we really want revival? How many of you like to have 100 kids? How many like Moses like to have 1,000,000? How many believe there's grace for it? Do we really want revival? How many like it the way it is? How many prepared to say, Lord, even if I have to lose everything and be fed by a bird, that revival might come? I'm willing. A lot of time for prayer then, wouldn't there be? A lot of time for seeking after Jesus, huh?
Count it all loss to gain Christ alone. Lamb that was slain, receive your reward. For you are worthy, you are worthy, Lord, you are worthy, you are worthy.
Verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Now this is Jesus speaking. His name is holy. In case you're wondering. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who is contrite, or broken rather, and he's humble. He's humble in spirit. These are the ones where Jesus lives. To revive the spirit of the humble. How are we going to be revived? We want revival to come. Oh Lord, let it come to them, Lord. No, I need it to come to me. I need revival to come to me. You want revival to come to your house? To revive the spirit of the humble. To revive the spirit of the humble. And to revive the heart of the broken ones. How many of you are broken before the Lord and you can be prayer? How many of you pray?
I'm not my own. Count it all lost. Gain Christ alone. Lamb that was slain. Receive your reward. For you are worthy. You are worthy. Oh Lord, I come bowing my knee.
To revive the heart of the broken ones, the contrite ones. When you go to Jesus, is your heart broken? I know we all have lost family and friends. Is our heart broken for them? We ourselves need to be revived before we're going to have revival among our family and relatives and friends. And then what happens when those uncle and aunt, or brother, or sister, or son, the ones that are hard to deal with, they get this fire of God in their bones, and now they come and they want to just hang out. Are you really prepared for that? Now let me ask you this question. Has your heart been so changed that you have the patience for that? How about the kindness to deal with the problems of the young people who are going to catch on fire and need discipling? Are you prepared to work for free night and day for that? Naturally speaking, for free? It's not really free if you look at the reward. Do you see the reward? Do you see what it might cost to have that eternal reward? What it might cost? Don't tell me there's no cost. There is a cost. Spirit, he will exalt. Oh, he's going to exalt you. Yeah. You're going to have a fruitful womb. There may be a nation in your belly. Oh, he's going to exalt you. Oh, you're going to have many offspring. As Abraham had many descendants, even as the stars in the heavens. You will leave a heritage behind. You want to leave a heritage behind? Oh yes, I have a grandson, I have some children, I have another baby. Yes, we have. We're thankful. We need to be faithful in our homes. And then all of a sudden God will make bread one from across the street. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself pouring out hours, not just dozens of hours, hundreds of hours. Jesus calls us to make disciples. Are you prepared to spend hundreds and thousands of hours on your children? Yes. Well, which way are you leading them? Which direction are you leading them? Is Jesus centered? Jesus wants us. Keep him centered. Maybe you have no children. Hasn't changed the fact. Paul had no children. He still was the father of many nations as Abraham. He gave birth to those churches. He cried nights and days. He was in sleeplessness often. I mean, he labored for his reward. And there was a crown laid up for him. He saw, as it were, his inheritance in the Spirit. Are you prepared for that? Well, then you're going to have to approach Jesus. You're going to have to approach the consuming fire. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow the knee. They approached the fiery furnace. And not only that, Nebuchadnezzar said, 7 times harder! Are you prepared to go into the furnace of the Son of Man? Let it refine you. Let it burn off any ropes that have you bound. The all-consuming fire where you're not consumed. Everything that is not of him will be consumed.
Grace is given to the humble. You love righteousness, my Lord. You love righteousness, my Lord.
But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the pure heart shall see God. This is our inheritance, you know. This yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made. You may shake some things that you have, natural things. Some of us got a lot of things. A lot of things. Sometimes the Lord shakes us from our things to show us, oh, am I losing my things? Or do I still have Jesus? Am I still rich in Christ? Sometimes He shakes families. Sometimes people lose wives. Sometimes people lose children. He shakes us, doesn't He? That He might become our all in all. He might become your all in all. He says this, that which is not shakeable may remain. Jesus. Find out, do you really have Jesus? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's how we're to serve Him. That's acceptable service toward Him. We have reverence and godly fear. Not just reverence, but godly fear also. For our God is a consuming fire. When you come to Jesus that way, be certain He's going to shake some things. He's going to shake some things. Because in our pursuit for holiness, that which defiles isn't going to enter. We're all going to find ourselves standing before the judgment seat of Christ, not with our things. We're going to stand naked and bare before Him. And He who searches the mind and the hearts, there'll be nothing hidden from the sight.
Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the rebellion. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the rebellion.
So let us examine ourselves. So Paul says, if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged, would we? So let us search our own hearts and let the Spirit speak to us. How we can begin to ask Jesus to help us to change, to have His character, to prepare us for revival. That He would revive the spirits of the contrite, broken, and humble ones. That we would have a real inheritance when we leave this place. We don't know what can happen when we drive down the road and leave this place. We don't know. We may have another 20 years. We may have another 50. Chances are, if you're already over 40, you may know. Let's always keep the heavenly perspective. Let's not lose the heavenly perspective when we go to our work. We're there for one reason. That people could see Jesus and how we're doing our business, how we're doing our work. That there would be a song in our hearts, that Jesus would be our all in all. He'd be our source. People would come, they would see the life that is in Christ. We have eternal life abiding in us. And you'll have those opportunities. Oh, that one person might share next to me. Oh, I was going to go for dinner with my wife, but this other couple would like to hear more about they're going through some problems. Oh, we'll put off the dinner. We go to dinner at their house. Or perhaps we have them in. And all of a sudden, now we're doing the Lord's work. Maybe still having a nice dinner. But it's about the kingdom. Let's keep that perspective. Because we're going to all have to give an account. All of us. It doesn't matter what you think of me or what I'm saying, whether you believe it or not. What matters is you need to have confidence when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You need confidence. And that confidence is in abiding in the living Word of Jesus. That's where you'll find your peace.
Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time, for these are the last. calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have not received the grace of our Lord in vain. Whoever calls upon name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.